Good Saturday morning. It's Mike Mullins, the host of the Socially Responsible Investing Show on AM 950. Hope your day is going well. Mine's going great. Today we're going to talk about something that's very, very, very important for all responsible investors to do. I hope everybody that's listening that's an investor sees him or herself as a person of responsibility. And today we're going to talk about one of the most responsible things you can do for your financial life. You need to have a will. That's right. And there's a lot of people listening right now that keep saying, oops, no, don't turn it off. You need to hear this. Give this as your opportunity to think about what the incentives are for making sure that you take care of your financial future, because it's not just your future. It's your family's future, your partner's future, your children's future. Gosh, if you have pets, it could be your pet's future. We're going to talk with our guest, Susan Anderson, in just a moment. I'll introduce her. But we're going to talk about people who had pets that inherited large, large sums of money. So if you're going to leave money to your pet, you may as well specify it now. Susan Anderson is a member of Helmuth & Johnson Law Firm. She's a member of the firm's estate planning practice group. Susan's practice is focused on assisting individual clients in the areas of estate planning, wills, trusts, probate, special needs trust, business succession, and other things related to that kind of planning. Susan's been an attorney for 15 years, more than 15 years, multidisciplined practice and experience in estate planning, tax consulting, and a CPA firm. Trust and financial planning experience in financial institutions. She obtained her BA from the University of Minnesota and her JD Juris Doctor from Hamline over in St. Paul, for any of you that went there. She volunteers for PACER down here, and she assists assisting children with disabilities as well as the Girl Scouts of America. And if you can't find something to love there, you're not trying hard enough. Susan, thanks for being on the show with us today.
Well, thank you, Mike. I'm just very happy to be here.
Well, we've had a good time preparing for this and talking about all the different ways to address the issue of wills, because it sounds like kind of a dry topic. And frankly, it was my idea to ask Susan if she would be my guest to talk about this, because when I think about the idea of being responsible for your money, and I've talked about this on the show, if you've heard more than one show, you know I've talked about this every time. Being responsible for your money means that you need to face up to some things that are difficult to deal with. Aging is difficult to deal with for a lot of people, all of us to some degree, some worse than others. Dealing with one's parents is difficult for a lot of reasons, because ultimately we're all dealing with the idea that there's going to be a time when we're going to be frail, we're not going to be healthy, we may have some kind of a tragic thing that happens in life, and by golly, this is not fun to talk about. It just isn't. All of us have been through it, one way or the other, been touched by it, either by neighbors or family members or grandparents or what have you. And today we're going to talk about how important it is to face up to some of the responsibilities on the objective side. We're not going to ask you to deal with your fears of death today, okay? We're going to ask you to deal with your money. Susan, what are the three top things that a responsible investor needs to do when it comes to this kind of planning?
Well, Mike, you had asked that question earlier, and I sat down and thought about it, and it just seems so basic to me. But the three top things that came to mind right away were, number one, having a will, number two, having a power of attorney, and number three, having a health care directive. And those three things to me sounded very boring when I came up with this, and I thought, that's just, you know, definitely someone's going to turn off the radio station. So one
no,
thing
please
I,
don't do that. Stay with us.
But one thing I did was I started looking into these stories and how they relate to people in the press that maybe we hear about, some of the famous celebrities who go through these things, and started understanding when I was reading these stories that really those stories are exactly like the probate litigation cases that we get in-house. Mm-hmm. And everyday individuals go through this stuff. And so it really is a nice talking point to kind of bring up how it has affected some of these celebrities' lives to...
Oh, goody, gossip.
That's right, who did not have these things in place. Mm-hmm. And a couple of higher-level things would be, if you've got a trust, you need to fund it. And if you have a business dealing with that, of course.
Well, let's start with that. The idea, if you have a trust, you need to fund it. What is a trust?
A trust is essentially a vehicle for you to be able to avoid probate, or to have your assets go in a manner that you would prefer and possibly stay and be invested for future generations. And then be distributed according to certain incentives or certain ages. If you have minor children, you don't want them to get the assets right away at age 18 or 21. I know I wouldn't have done well with that at that age. You can have these assets go out over a period of time, and they can see how investments work then over time and grow into that.
What's the difference between a will and a trust?
A will essentially can pass your assets to the next generation. However, you need to go through a probate process, which can be expensive. However, if you have your assets set up properly, a will is a very good vehicle to do just that for a simple estate. A trust, and the will process is very public, and the probate process is very public, which is oftentimes fine for individuals that don't have a privacy concern. A trust vehicle, on the other hand, allows you to pass all of those assets a lot quicker, bypass probate, and not have anything publicly disclosed. The one other reason for a trust would be if you own property in another state, you avoid ancillary probates in all of those states.
Yikes. So why do I want to avoid probate? I hear that a lot.
Yeah, you know, probate is one of those things where you can end up spending a lot of money, essentially, in a probate process. And I used to think, well, it's not that much, but really when I'm looking at the practice with probate, it is not something that either you're going to pay now to get your will documents done, or you're going to pay down the road for the probate process. And the thing I don't like about the probate process is that if you don't have your formal will set up in advance in writing and your intentions in writing, then that process can get a little out of hand. Mm-hmm. And that's when you have these outside parties like illegitimate children or people making claims on the estate saying they took care of your father when he was in his failing ending days, things like that that can really come up because you're exposing everything to the public.
What would be an example of a celebrity where they didn't do it right?
Well, obviously the cases where celebrities did not have wills, and an example would be Sonny Bono's estate. He evidently died at age 62 from a skiing accident, unforeseen, just like a lot of us, otherwise a healthy, very active person in public politics, and left behind a second wife and two children, minor children, as well as two children from a previous marriage, as we all know. And what happened there was, in addition to grieving for that spouse, she had to take on, there was no executor that could run his business and take in his royalties. So she had to make a lot of court proceedings and go in and get special dispensation to be able to carry on his business. And then also an illegitimate child came up out of the woodwork and made a claim. She had to go through actually doing a paternity test on her deceased husband, and he ended up withdrawing his claim, but all very emotional and very costly activities.
And what should he have done?
He should have done a basic will. And he could have avoided a lot of this. Actually, and whenever you have a situation, he did write a book, and he had disclosed in the book that he may have an illegitimate child in that book. But he should have dealt with that then in a will. Whenever you want to disinherit someone, you need to specifically talk about that in a will, and then you quiet all the claims that can come up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Another example is Jimi Hendrix. He died without a will. Many of you out there may have heard about him, but what happened with him was because he didn't have a will, his estate went to his father, and both Jimmy and his brother Leon had been in and out of foster homes their whole life. Very sad. So it kind of tells you about maybe the parenting skills of that father involved. Anyway, so the father took over the estate and did build it into an $80 million industry. But Leon had always been kind of Jimmy's his rock. And because they had only each other growing up. And what happened was the father eventually married a second spouse, adopted a child, and cut Leon completely out of everything.
Yikes.
And I doubt that Jimmy would have wanted it that way.
Yeah. Yeah. So, again, a basic will where you name who's important to you, where you want your assets left, and if you've got a business. We'll talk about the business side again. I think we need to touch on that. A lot of people listening today are small business owners. And a lot of small business owners, just the nature of the beast, have subchapter S, or limited liability corporations, where there are some, asterisks when you're filing your taxes, extra things you have to do. We can talk about that in a few minutes. Susan, we're going to come back and talk about some more celebrity issues and take some case studies, as it were. I appreciate everybody being listening here today. Susan, thanks for being here. And this is the Socially Responsible Investing Show, AM 950, and we'll be back in just a couple minutes. Don't leave. Mike Mullins here, financial consultant with RBC Wealth Management. Are you hoping for a comfortable retirement? Are you worried that you may not be able to afford one? Do you want to know if you're headed in the right direction so you can afford a comfortable retirement? We need to have a visit. I have created a very focused strategy and technique, wealth building to wealth spending, the story of your life. My approach can help you ensure that you are on the right track. Call me, Mike Mullins, at 612-371-7859. That's 612-371-7859 for a free one-page summary of my strategy, Wealth Building to Wealth Spending, the Story of Your Life. You can also email your request to michael.w.mullins, M-U-L-L-I-N-S, at rbc.com. Together we can create peace of mind for you and your household. Call today. RBC Wealth Management is a division of RBC Capital Markets, member NYSC, FINRA, SIPC. Listening to the great music of Laura Caviani. You can find her stuff on lauracaviani.com, lauracaviani.com. Laura is a terrific musician, plays locally, arranges, writes, knows all the right people, just a great human being and a wonderful jazz musician. So, Laura, thank you so much for allowing us to use the music here for in and out of our segments on the Socially Responsible Investing Show. I'm your host, Mike Mullins. Welcome back. And our guest today is Susan Anderson. She is an estate attorney with Helmuth & Johnson Law Firm in Eden Prairie, Minnesota. Been in the business 15 years, got her BA from the U and her JD from Hamline. And she specializes in estate planning and associated areas. And we're going to talk about trusts and businesses. A lot of people listening, as I just said before we ended the last segment, have business concerns. And sometimes you need to have a trust set up to be able to make distinctions and protect yourself. And Susan, you said something very early in our conversation about the need to fund a trust. What does that mean?
Yeah, thanks, Mike. What that means is essentially, for instance, let's take, for instance, the estate of Michael Jackson.
Yes, please, I'll take it.
Michael did a good job with his attorney setting up his estate. He did have a will, although his mother had come forward right away thinking that there was not a will. But there was. They did find one. And his attorney had done some extensive planning to make a family trust. But one problem was that he did not fund that trust, and that is a follow-up item that we are very careful to follow in our firm. It sounds very uninteresting. It's not the real slick trust, language or setting up the document. It doesn't seem as fun, but it's something that you really need to do to avoid the probate process. The whole problem with Michael Jackson's estate was simply that they didn't fund the legal work that was done. And if he had funded that trust during his life, everything would have went outside of the probate process, which is very, very interesting.
Okay, so let me see if I understand this. So I go into attorney, such as you, In fact, you, Susan, and I have a will written.
Mm-hmm.
And what this means is that if I have a married spouse, it's like I leave my wife all of my possessions, etc. And if there are other assets or larger assets, dollar amount assets, we can always dream that it'll be that way when we get down the line. The taking into account the way things are taxed mm-hmm. is important, and mm-hmm. attorneys know this stuff, even if we, the consumers, don't really have that good of a handle on it. But the idea is that within the will, you would create a trust that would become a live trust on my passing.
Right, right. But actually, Michael Jackson's example, if you don't mind if I just launch in, is actually more of an example of when you set up a revocable trust during your life. And so when you set up that trust, which actually creates more family trusts and other things down the line,
mm-hmm.
when you set up that trust, that's when you need to transfer your assets into the name of that trust. You still own them. You can still undo the trust at any time. You can still sell those assets, keep those assets, dispose of them as you'd like,
well,
invest
that's why it's
them
called
wisely.
That's called a revocable trust.
That's right.
Instead of irrevocable, which means it's just one way and you're done.
That's
revocable
right.
Revocable means you can change your mind and take it back.
Exactly. And so what he didn't do was he did not transfer his assets into that trust first. And if he had done that during his life, then everything in his estate would have went per that trust mm-hmm. outside of the probate process. But what happens a lot of times for the everyday individual is that you get your revocable trust set up, you put your vacation home and your personal home into it, and you have your accounts titled in the name of the trust. But as you get older, maybe other people are taking care of your finances, accounts get set up here and there, you kind of forget what you did, why,
mm-hmm.
and you have some assets in your name. If you have assets in your name of over $50,000, then that amount does have to go through probate.
Okay.
But if you do what we are talking about today, which is have a simple will as a safety net, have a power of attorney, and have your health care directive in place, you, even though you have to go through probate, it will be a much better process. There are actually different levels of probate, and if you've got that will there, you could go into what's called some summary levels of probate, which is going to be a lot less expensive, and you also still are going to avoid all this litigation and contention in with your heirs that we've been talking about.
You know, it seems to me that in listening to you talking about this, Susan, it makes sense. I have to really think about what you're saying because it's not something I run across every day. But, you know, when you have a situation where you've got an ill family member, or especially parents, especially those of us baby boomers that have parents now in their 80s and older, these are serious issues that have to be addressed. It really isn't fun and games. We really have to step up and take responsibility
mm-hmm.
for being aware and knowing about these issues. Even if I'm not doing it right now or if I'm putting it off for some reason, at least the first step is to recognize that this is inescapable. The
yeah.
consequences of not doing the work to have a will set up. Let's say that, what's another example of somebody that didn't have a will? You had something here about Chief Justice Warren Burger.
Yeah, actually, and what he did was he had a will of all things. Mr. Burger, he's from St. Paul, Minnesota, and he was Chief Justice
of the U.S. Supreme Court. I mean, of all people, right?
Here's an attorney who, you know, the cobbler's kids don't have shoes. He, what he did was he hand wrote a will. It was a 70-word document. So it didn't follow all the requirements for a Minnesota will. And also he did not do any tax planning. And his estate was around, I think it was $1.8 million. He ended up, because they had to go through probate because the will was not a formal, good Minnesota will in good form. So everything ended up being public instead of going quietly to his heirs. Secondly, he had to pay about $500,000 in taxes. So for saving the time and the money involved, and that's another thing that everyday people feel the pressure of, I don't have time to do this and I don't have the money to do this. But for a mere approximately $2,000, he could have gotten a plan probably back in those days that would have saved him almost all of that in taxes.
My gosh.
So
when you talk about tax planning, how does that figure into getting a will written?
Essentially, you can do tax planning either within a will or within a trust.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is a big conversation that I have with clients. And right now with the estate tax laws in such flux, What we do is a lot of what's called disclaimer planning, which means that if I have a couple sitting in front of me, you need to capture your $1 million exemption per individual, but you have to capture it at that first step. You can't let all those assets go joint tenant to the second spouse because you'll lose it.
You lose it. Because it's each individual has it.
Exactly. Right. Correct. So what we do is you sit down with the spouse, the surviving spouse at that time. They sit down with their investment advisor, their attorney, and accountant, and decide how to fund that trust and at what level, given the current tax laws. And you can do that in a will or a trust.
Right. And you don't need to know how to do this already before you walk in the door. That's why you hire a professional, because they know this stuff. Everybody knows the laws are changing. They're shifting all the time. Sometimes the changes in laws are violent and sudden, and other times they're very subtle, and it seems like it's almost like the change of a word, and all of a sudden it goes off in this other direction. As investment advisor, myself and Susan, as an estate planning attorney, both she and I have worked often with people's CPAs and other financial planners to help put together a package that makes the most sense. And you don't have to be rich for this to work. In fact, it makes more sense if you're not. We'll come back and talk about that in a few minutes. This is Mike Mullins, host of the Socially Responsible Investing Show. Don't go away. Mike Mullins here, financial consultant with RBC Wealth Management. Are you hoping for a comfortable retirement? Are you worried that you may not be able to afford one? Do you want to know if you're headed in the right direction so you can afford a comfortable retirement? Well, we need to have a visit. I have created a very focused strategy and technique, wealth building to wealth spending, the story of your life. My approach can help you ensure that you are on the right track. Call me, Mike Mullins, at 612-371-7859. That's 612-371-7859 for a free one-page summary of my strategy, Wealth Building to Wealth Spending, the Story of Your Life. You can also email your request to michael.w.mullins, M-U-L-L-I-N-S, at rbc.com. Together, we can create peace of mind for you and your household. Call today. RBC Wealth Management is a division of RBC Capital Markets, member NYSE, FINRA, SIPC. This is the Socially Responsible Investing Show on AM 950, Chapter 3 of this Saturday's show. Our guest is Susan Anderson, who is an estate attorney with Helmuth & Johnson, a law firm here in Eden Prairie. And she's got 15 years of experience of doing estate planning and probate work and all the kinds of law that deal with managing people's money legally. So any questions that you have, you can get in touch with me. I can put you in touch with Susan. Or, Susan, what's your phone number?
Oh, great. My phone number is 952-746-2123. Or you can also get in touch with me by going to our website at hjlawfirm.com.
If you ever drive in the South Metro and you're down driving on 169 going north or south, and you look to the east and you see this beautiful brick building being built in the northeast quadrant of 169 and 494, that's the new office of Helmuth & Johnson. This is a terrific firm. They are growing while a lot of other firms are shrinking. There's a good reason for that. You can probably guess what the reason is. It has to do with the quality of the hired help.
We like to think so. Thanks, Mike.
So, but I can tell you, I can heartily endorse Susan for anyone that wants to get some questions answered. Susan, you'll take a call and there's no charge, right?
Definitely. We work on package pricing as much as possible, and we really want to just make sure that people's affairs are set up properly for them. If it's a simple plan they need, that's what you get. If it's a more complex plan, it's all customized. You don't walk out with a cookie cutter. We've seen some kind of interesting things out there in the field with cookie cutter trusts or estate plans.
Something you pull off the internet and decide to just fill in the blanks in the boxes, that kind of thing?
Definitely. Or even some attorneys that are just doing a one-size-fits-all, which is not really, that is definitely just not something we're going to do.
Well, right. Now, we started out this show talking about three things that every investor, every responsible investor should do. Could you go through those three again briefly here?
Sure. The things that came to mind were a will, having a formal will done,
yep,
a power of attorney, and a health care directive. And then at higher levels, we were talking about trusts and business succession.
Right. Let's touch on the power of attorney aspect for a moment. What is that?
The power of attorney is basically you are giving an agent the power to carry on any financial activities if something happens to you, if you become incapacitated or die. Mm-hmm. And so when you're going to Mike and having your investments done, he can take direction from your agent if you were in the hospital, say, for instance.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is true. And I have several, most of my accounts these days have a power of attorney attached. And I really put a lot of emphasis on this actually right at the first couple of conversations. I'll ask, you know, what's your name, how old are you, and do you have a will? Pretty much in that order. Because power of attorney, don't you usually write that right? And when you're writing a will for someone, creating a will, you put that in there?
Yeah, I would say if people do not already have a financial power of attorney, then we include that with our basic package, which is a will, power of attorney, and a health care directive. Mm-hmm. And the reason being that it's just so very important. You need to get it while you have capacity. Once you're incapacitated, you can't get it.
Because you can't sign for yourself.
That's
at that point.
Right.
Yeah, can't grant it.
And then that's when you're faced with, instead of putting in the investment to do that power of attorney right now, you and your family have to drag you into court, put you up in a stand, and basically embarrass you and say, you know, you can't manage your financial affairs. And sometimes people contest that and can get very messy and end up being legal fees of around $10,000.
Thanks. So, you know, another thing that crosses my mind on this, now that we're talking about the financial side and the investment side, is the difference between when you're setting up a will, how a person titles their assets is very important. Your house, your cars, things that have financial value, your investment accounts. Now, your IRA is in your own name because it's called an individual retirement account. It's not a group retirement account.
Mm-hmm.
And in your IRA, you would have a named beneficiary, and that's going to be something that you could, well, let's say if you had your will and you have an IRA, you could have as your beneficiary, well, first of all, it's probably going to be the firm because they're the ones that handles it as custodian. But the beneficiary that could be paid would be the estate of Mike Mullins, right?
Well, and actually with IRAs, what we like to try to do with individuals is go ahead and pass that right away to your spouse as the first beneficiary.
Okay. Okay.
And then your children thereafter. But we do have special wording we use, too, where we say children or per stirpes, it's called, which is in the case that a child predeceases you, then their children will take your child's share. But the reason we like to do it that way is that you're bypassing probate.
Yeah. Now, what if you have a previous family, shall we say?
And there's more and more of that nowadays.
So you've got an ex-partner and you had some children there, a child or two or whatever, and then you've gotten remarried and maybe that partner has a couple of children. That can get a little complicated, can't it? Can you imagine being in a situation like that? If you're listening, you know what I'm talking about. And not having a will? What a mess.
Yeah, it does leave itself open for a lot of squabbles. What can happen, actually, is that all the assets upon the first death of the first spouse will go to the second spouse.
Mm-hmm. The surviving spouse.
Exactly, and then it's kind of up to that surviving spouse to have the kindness of heart to provide again for the children of the first marriage. And we often don't want to rely on that. It really should be in writing.
Let's dip into our gossip cesspool here. What's another story of some celebrity that went through what we just talked about?
Yeah, you know, I don't have an exact example of a second spouse with children of the first spouse, but I do have an example of, say, for instance, very recent in the news, an actor, Heath Ledger, who was played the Joker on Batman. What happened there was he didn't update his will, and he had initially left everything to his parents and siblings. And so there you got a case where he actually did have an ex-wife and a child. And so the child was actually at the mercy of her grandfather to make sure the money was going to go to her. I think there was $20 million involved. And he did actually end up doing that. He did the right thing, which is fabulous, but you don't always have that out there. We do have other divorce situations where you've got individuals who, say, for instance, Mr. Gary Coleman, and he's kind of got two points involved with his estate, so I'll talk about that real quick. Mm-hmm. Essentially, he divorced his wife. They were even on an episode of Divorce Court, I guess.
Oh, my gosh.
So it was pretty public that he was divorced, but after his death, his wife still went into court claiming that she was a common law wife and wanting to claim on that estate. Also, she was the one who had his health care directive because he had not taken her off of his health care directive. So during his last days, she pulled the plug.
Oh. That's the last person in the world you want responsible for whether you live or die is your ex.
Yes. You know, and so that brings us to the whole health care directive situation. It sounds really boring, but you have real live cases where it actually can be very heartbreaking when you think about it. For instance, Ted Williams, a Red Sox Hall of Famer, he's right now in a cryogenic frozen state because the children of a second marriage came forward with a handwritten, grease-stained note saying that he wanted to be frozen, whereas that his will had said that he wanted to be cremated. So these can be very serious things for everyday people.
What makes a will qualified and observable? I mean, it sounds like to me if somebody just jots down something on the back of a napkin and somebody presents it after your death, that doesn't sound like that should be legit to me.
Yeah, you know, there are some requirements for a will. Minnesota has a list of them, and those are kind of the things that I was talking about before, that if you don't have certain formalities on a will, then they will consider it not to be a formal will, and you will have to go through additional steps in the probate process and pay more and more in the probate process to get that will construed. But it's essentially some basic items like it needs to be notarized. You need to have two witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
We include an affidavit at the end saying that this grantor or this will signer is of sound mind and body,
mm-hmm.
and that adds additional support with another witnessing and another notarizing. So those are the kinds of things that actually, believe it or not, will throw your estate into the highest level formal probate, it's called, the most expensive level probate, whereas if you have the handwritten casual will, if you have the handwritten casual will, that's going to throw you into the highest level of probate, okay. as opposed to just going in and paying the few $100 and having your normal will done for Minnesota.
It's sort of like having an IRS audit. You don't want to have to get to that point.
Exactly.
You know, a lot of this has to do with protecting people's assets. But when we talk about protecting people's investment assets, having a will is good because it directs where that money goes. It doesn't really do much for you while you're alive. But there are circumstances where if a person has a catastrophic illness or they have an accident or they have a stroke or they go into a coma, where having some of these financial things in place can help you while you're living. I think about the place of long-term care insurance in the role of being what I call portfolio insurance. If you've got, let's just take a nice round number, $1 million portfolio, and you go into a home, and you're going to go through that money. Or even if you stay at home with in-home health care, you're going to go through that money rapidly, which means that whoever you're going to leave that money to as a legacy isn't going to have that money. All you have to do, it sounds simple when I say it this way, is buy a long-term care policy.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't know what that is, ladies and gentlemen, call me and we'll go walk through that. It's pretty straightforward. There are some third-party descriptive things by the state of Minnesota endorsed out there that you can read that have nothing to do with products or sales or anything like that, but you can learn what it is. How do you see long-term care insurance fitting into a person's will, or how does it relate?
Well, you know, we actually think it's a very important part of your day-end planning or your end-days planning. And nowadays, with science and medical technology, people are living a lot longer, and so it really is something that we highly recommend for individuals who are in the middle, who can afford it, but mm-hmm. maybe aren't self-funded.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's based on your health,
mm-hmm.
And so there are some different gradations, just like any insurance. The healthier you are, the cheaper it is. The younger you buy it, the cheaper it is. Well, I'd like to talk about that another time, probably with someone from the state, frankly, on that one. Susan Anderson has been our guest today. She's a member of Helmuth & Johnson Law Firm, the firm's estate planning practice. Susan, what is your phone number again?
My phone number, Mike, is 952-746-2123. And if you have any questions, just call me. Like Mike said, I'm not going to charge you.
That's right. Mention my name and you'll get, it's free already, but then it's really free. Okay, don't go away. We'll have a wrap-up segment in just a moment. The Socially Responsible Investment Show is right back. Mike Mullins here, financial consultant with RBC Wealth Management. Are you hoping for a comfortable retirement? Are you worried that you may not be able to afford one? Do you want to know if you're headed in the right direction so you can afford a comfortable retirement? Well, we need to have a visit. I have created a very focused strategy and technique, Wealth Building to Wealth Spending, the story of your life. My approach can help you ensure that you are on the right track. Call me, Mike Mullins, at 612-371-7859. That's 612-371-7859 for a free one-page summary of my strategy, Wealth Building to Wealth Spending, the story of your life. You can also email your request to michael.w.mullins, M-U-L-L-I-N-S, at rbc.com. Together, we can create peace of mind for you and your household. Call today. RBC Wealth Management is a division of RBC Capital Markets, member NYSE, FINRA, SIPC.
I feel like dancing in the booth here. This is fun music. You know, this is the Socially Responsible Investing Show. Somehow or another, at the end of the last segment, I managed to garble the title of my own show. It sounded like the show. But it is the Socially Responsible Investing Show. I'm your host, Mike Mullins, and for the fourth segment on this fine Saturday morning, I want to let you know that our guest, Susan Anderson, just told me that for anyone who cares to give her a call for a conversation, I'm not even going to call it a consultation, we'll just call it a visit, that listener who admits that they're AM 950 Socially Responsible Investing Show listeners will receive, if they decide to do anything, a half-hour free consultation, and if they choose to retain the firm and Susan, a 15% discount on those legal services. Now, that may be you're thinking, well, you know, 15% off $100, that's only $15. Well, think again, because you may have situations that may cost you, as she said, a couple $1,000. Let's see if we can do the math. How much money is that? $300? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what we're talking about. Susan, thanks for that offer. And I hope that people will accept that invitation to call Susan Anderson at Helmuth Johnson Law Firm. If you didn't write down the number before, look it up. They're online, H-E-L-L-M-U-T-H, Johnson, J-O-H-N-S-O-N, Law Firm in Eden Prairie. I want to summarize today's topic. We're talking about wills and trusts. What we're really talking about is being a responsible person with your family's money. I want to look at this topic through my RSG lens. RSG symbolizes responsible, sustainable, and green. I see those as the three pillars of socially responsible investing. That's the way I see it. Responsible investing in the traditional way means these are things we're not going to buy. We're not going to buy, for example, tobacco stocks, nuclear power stocks. This is the traditional way of looking at it. You may not see it this way. Gambling stocks, alcohol stocks, companies that make weapons of mass destruction, those kinds of things that aren't viewed typically as being life-giving industries or products. Sustainable, we're looking at companies, and we've talked about this a lot, companies that have identified their core values, the principles that they want to operate by when they're working with as custodians in four areas, with their customers, with their employees, with their environment, and with their community. If these are four areas are being addressed in a company's business plan, and you can see them working at it, and you can see it in their annual report if you look at those things, that's a company that you can identify as sustainable. Green tends to be looking at things that we can make improvements on. Last week's show, we talked about natural gas. Yes, it's a fossil fuel. Yes, it's the kind of thing that comes out of the ground and will eventually run out of it. But using natural gas in place of coal means that we could cut the CO2, the carbon dioxide emissions into the atmosphere by right around half. Is it worth fooling with? Absolutely it is. While we have a chance to bring online wind power, solar power, biofuels, our guest said it takes about 75 years, has so far taken about 75 years for there to be a complete shift from one fuel source to another. So we have to really think about what we're going to do this week and next year and the year after, and not just what we want to do by 2050. Well,
when we've been talking about wills and trusts, this is about being responsible, but it's on the positive way. We want you to be a responsible human being with your family's assets, responsible investor with your money, so that all the time and effort it takes to put together a portfolio, to manage it, and in some cases to sweat bullets and watch the thing roller coaster around as we've had the unfortunate experience of the last couple of years, gosh, that needs to be worth it, don't you think? And if you're thinking that it's okay with you if you dissipate all this money in a nursing home, or you dissipate all this money in taxes because you didn't do your homework, that's not responsible. That's irresponsible. And we have to stop that. We have to just do a better job. I have heard a statistic that the majority of people in this country, that be north of 50%, do not have a will. It's closer to two-thirds, actually, that don't have a will. I can't imagine in this day and age, as complex as life has gotten, that people are running around just hoping for the best, that nothing's going to happen to them. Nobody ever gets in an accident. Look, everybody I know knows somebody that's been in an accident and has had some tragedy happen. I've got a very good friend sitting across the table from me right now, had a house fire not too long ago. Gosh, I sure am glad that she had insurance. You know, and in a way, a will is kind of like insurance in that regard. It's something you don't expect that you're going to have until you actually need it, and then there it is. You need to take responsibility for seeing your money in appropriate proportions. My bullseye rules talks about that. We've talked about the first bullseye rule is your lifestyle. The second ring is, the first ring out is your cash and reserves, whose only job is to support your lifestyle. It's not where you put your stocks. And the second ring out is of the bullseye is your household's long-term investing, and that's where you put your stocks. The second thing you need to do is you need to see things clearly. You need to create a routine for wealth building and wealth protection. The third area is the RSG wealth building model that I have, responsible, sustainable, green, where you can align your values with your investments. And fourth, when you get to be a little bit older, converting wealth to income. There are good ways to do this, there are great ways to do this, and there are lousy ways to do this. And if you don't know what those distinctions are, you need to talk to me. Call me at 612-371-7859, and let's have a visit. My consultation is also free, and the only time that you pay is, just like with Susan, when there's a service that you decide is something that you want, where you see a value and you're willing to trade some of your money to get the value and to get the product. I have a website. It's michaelwmullins.com. That's M-U-L-L-I-N-S.com. I invite you to go to my website, and on my homepage, you'll see a link that says, listen to Mike on AM 950. If you click that link, you will go to the AM 950 webpage that has a listing of all the shows that I've done since March. And if you find a topic that you like there, I'd really invite you to click on it and give it a listen. You can contact me on 612-371-7859. You can also email me at michael.w.mullins, M-U-L-L-I-N-S, at rbc.com. Now, sometime soon, although I'm going to take a little vacation here, sometime soon I'm going to have this show that we've just been listening to will be available to be heard again. If you have relatives out of town that you think ought to hear this or live someplace else, let them know that they can find us online at am950radio.com. They can find me under advertisers. That's where they put me, and you'll be able to find these shows. Listen, thanks a lot for listening today. I hope the rest of your day and the rest of your weekend goes great. This is Mike Mullins, host of the Socially Responsible Investing Show, and we are out.